If you think you can't go from politics to the divide, Carol Gold and Steve Clark are about to take you above the fray. The only agenda here is to empower you to think for yourself, ask more questions, and trust your own truth. So now, the combination talk radio has been missing. Until now, Carol Gold and Steve Clark taking you above the fray.
Hi, good evening. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Above the Fray. Our number here is 914-803-4522. Steve and I, my co-host Steve Clark, welcome you to the show. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Carol.
Let me take a quick moment and remind our viewers, Steve, that my book, The Lightworker's Handbook, is on my website, Carol, carolegold.com. It can be ordered there or, of course, off of Amazon. And that my book, Steve's and my book, Money, How to See It, How to Get It, How to Keep It, basically a spiritual approach to generating abundance in your life, can also be purchased, the Kindle book, on Amazon and off of our site as well, Steve. Is that right or not?
That's correct. Yes, it is.
Okay, so that would be AboveTheFrayPodcast.com. So you can either go to my site, Carol Gold, Carol with an E, or go to AboveTheFrayPodcast.com, and both of those books are available. Steve, we were looking back, you and I, recently at really where the country's been, where it's come from, and where we think it's going. And particularly if we look back around the 80s, and we look at the time when we had Ronald Reagan as president, we had Margaret Thatcher as prime minister in England, and we had Pope John Paul at the Vatican, you really had three very conservative leaders in the world, secular and spiritual, and it was a prosperous time for the world. Reagan took down the Berlin Wall, or he caused the Berlin Wall to be taken down, whichever way you want to look at it. Margaret Thatcher took on bold initiatives in England, took on the unions as well. And of course, Pope John Paul was very explicit and very focused and determined in his positions on issues that obviously have gone very far astray from where he was back in the day when he was Pope, cultural issues and social issues. So there seems to me to have been what I perceive as a slippery slope since the 1980s, and we have to factor in technology as well, because you can't talk about where the cultures come without looking at the technological influence as well. But we are certainly a far cry from the leadership that we had in the 80s to where we are now. I mean, we seriously, as a nation, the Democrats in this country are still considering a woman who may have just participated in obstruction of justice for the presidency. I mean, Hillary Clinton just turned over that server, and it's been professionally wiped clean. We have 55-plus million abortions since the 1970s. And spiritually, I'll let you, if I'm wrong, Steve, your perspective, but I think we have a pope now who's very much a social justice, social action, redistribution of wealth kind of guy. And we have some major problems in our economy, and we have major world problems in terms of security, both on our border and in the Middle East. And nowhere do I see the kind of strength and certitude and determination and courage that I think we saw back in that era that I just referenced. So, Steve, I'd like to have our discussion tonight be around that and let you now share with our listeners some of your thoughts around this.
Yeah, thanks for the good intro. When I look at it, kind of the difference between the two time periods, I wanted to kind of address two things. The first is, you know, do the times make the people, or do the people make the times? And it's kind of one of those things. Are Reagan, Thatcher, and Pope John Paul just a creation of the era, or were they leaders of the era? And I'm not, you know, and so many conservative things or so many free market principles were implemented, so many principles that were basically, I would call, instruments that freed up people throughout the world. I would say there's been numerous books written about the many ways that Reagan and the Pope at the time worked together to bring down Russia and to bring down communism, where they felt millions of people were trapped in an oppressive government. And so I just think it's fascinating to look back in time that how these, you know, three remarkable people came about. And it's just also, it's also kind of one of those things. Was it the chicken or was it the egg? Which came first? Was it these three people that came about because they were so spectacular, or was it generally a more conservative movement that existed that enabled people like that to come to power? And I just think it's a fascinating, you know, a fascinating look at history, where we look at today, where you have, you know, I could speak about the two leaders with Obama, and then when you have, as you said, the Pope right now, which is where he's focusing much less on the individual. The Pope is focusing much less on individual issues, but much more on social issues. And just to be very clear, a Catholic really main belief is that the Pope is only infallible on natures of the faith or of matters of the faith. And what this Pope is doing is he's speaking on a host of issues completely unrelated to the faith, where, let's call it what it is, where he has no expertise on. So I find it just kind of a really interesting time where we have the Pope and Obama seemingly aligned on issues where they really have, I would say, really have no real expertise on the matter. For example, I would not claim I'm an expert on, by any means, on global warming. I'm not a scientist. I've only done a cursory review of books, and I've read quite a bit. But I know at the end of the day, I'm a novice in that space, and I should defer to other people in that. I have my own wits, and I have my own common sense. But I find it remarkable, for example, that the Pope comes out and says something, or Obama can come out and say something, for example, on matters of social justice or matters of, as both of them are pushing, on matters of the environment and how the damage we're doing to the planet. When one is a community organizer, the Pope was a former bouncer, and he's really an expert on theological matters, and that's about it. And how the media goes off and kind of lauds these people because they're fitting the narrative that they want to push. And so I just think it's an interesting movement that we've seen over the last 30 years, Carol.
What you're saying prompts so many thoughts and so many directions in my mind. I heard today, you know, you're talking about the Pope speaking on social issues and him being infallible only on issues of faith. And I really thank you for reminding me of that, because I knew that, but I had forgot. As a non-Catholic, I'm a Jew, it wasn't in the forefront of my mind. And that really is a very important point for Catholics who listen to the Pope and take his guidance to know and to broadcast, for lack of a better word, because I think many people, Catholics first and others second, who look at the Pope as a spokesperson for Christianity on earth, that they don't make that distinction. I know I would not off the top of my head have made that distinction had you not reminded me, and that really brings a whole different light, doesn't it, to then what the Pope has to say, because if you keep that idea in the forefront of your mind, then when he says something about global warming, climate change, or when he says something about redistribution of wealth, you can literally dismiss it because it's not his authority. You know, I think of the movie Michael.
That's exactly right.
Have you ever saw the movie Michael with John Travolta? He plays the Archangel.
Yes.
Michael. It's a great movie, but there's a line that he keeps repeating in that movie whenever any of the other characters in the movie ask him about something. He'll turn to them and he'll say, "It's not my area." Meaning his archangelship is simply about battle. Michael does battle. Michael protects. That's what Michael does. That energy of the Archangel Michael is one of protection. So when they ask him other questions, just in passing, you know, like, because they know he's an archangel, and they say things to him like, "Well, what does God think about premarital sex?" He'll say, "That's not my area." It's kind of what the Pope should be doing, right? I mean, he should be saying social justice, redistribution of wealth, climate change. It's not my area. But he's taken liberties in the same way, I would argue, that our president has taken liberties with the Constitution in areas that aren't his area. And when you allow power to feed on itself, I think that's it. When you allow power to feed on itself without imposing any opposition or restriction or restraint, power loves power. That's what power does. It eats it up alive, in a sense, and it keeps growing on its own energy. When you don't put limitations, especially on human power, on ego, when you don't put limitations there, or when the limitations are crossed, when the borders are crossed, and there's no sound anywhere in the forest, hello, that something has gone awry, like with a Pope on climate change or Barack Obama on executive orders that on amnesty and other issues that are beyond his purview and beyond his constitutional powers as stated, then I think it's how we go awry. And it's exactly how you don't get a Reagan or a Thatcher. You know, when you started, Steve, you said, you don't know whether what came first, the chicken or the egg. Actually, in history, there is a theory called the great man theory. And what it is that the dilemma is, the choice is, do great people arise out of a great culture, or do great people take a culture in a great direction, in other words? So it's your chicken or egg theory, but it really is more about culture and leadership. Do great leaders come along and elevate, in essence, the populace, or does the populace reach a certain level of its own comprehension, its own consciousness, that it has the insight and the intelligence and the wisdom to elect appropriate great leaders or to demand great leaders? My concern right now for us is that, and this may be the one plus I see in Donald Trump, actually, is that we've been amiss, we've been awry. We have not asked anything of our leaders, and so we've gotten more and more watered down until we don't have leadership at all. We have crony capitalism, and we have bullying, and we have partisanship, and we have polarity, but we don't have leadership. And so the one thing that's interesting about Trump is that he stands there as almost as a defiance to this apathy and to this crony capitalism. Whether he's legitimate or not, only time will tell, right? But he seems at the moment to be saying, all this nonsense, it's got to stop. It's killing us, literally. And that may be a good thing, because he may be acting as a catharsis, as an agent of change, to awaken those people who haven't been awake, and to embolden those of us who have been awake but have been frustrated because we haven't figured out a way to deal with the corruption, the crony capitalism, the lack of leadership, etc. Steve?
Yeah, Carol, I want to just go into this point a little bit more, because I do think it's fascinating, because getting back to Reagan and the Pope John Paul II at the time, one of the main tenets of the Catholic faith is that, you know, God created man, and God's greatest gift to man is freedom, is the ability to choose. And so we can choose whatever we want, good or bad or whatever it is, and we have to live with the consequences. But God's greatest gift to man is freedom. And so when the Pope spoke about freedom, about man's yearning for freedom, there was a philosophical basis that he was driving, and in that sense, he was 100% theologically sound. He was infallible in that point. And Reagan took that point because he knew the Pope was infallible in matters of faith, and that is a matter of Catholic faith. To be very explicit, that Reagan took that point, and he had the same ideology that man was born free. So it was that union between a theological point where he was speaking on 100% matters of faith, and Reagan and Thatcher taking those points and then coordinating and collaborating to free up the whole Soviet Union and all those Eastern Bloc countries. And it's amazing the combination of acting on principle and of really sound truth, the man's yearning to be free, that we have this amazing, you know, this amazing thing happen where we liberated millions and millions of people. And look at the difference of what we have today, where this kind of false truth that we're pursuing is actually enslaving people.
Well, it's because you just set forth the premise that we have freedom, that we are created with free will to choose. And so I think what we're seeing now is akin to biblically when Moses tells the people, I put before you this day, you know, God puts before you this day life and death, choose life that you may live. He's talking at Sinai when they were worshiping the golden calf. So we still have free will. We've never lost free will. And as you just said, we can use it for life or we can use it for death. If you look at our choices, certainly within the last decade for sure, and you look at Planned Parenthood, 55 million plus abortions, it's death. When you look at ISIS, daily decapitating, torturing, murdering Christians, creating a genocide throughout the Middle East with an intention to take over the world, and not enough opposition, not the great powers standing up to confront them and stop them in their tracks the same way Hitler wasn't stopped in his tracks until it was too late. So when you look at ISIS, you're looking at death. When you look at Planned Parenthood, you're looking at death. When you look at I'm trying to think what the other thing was. I was thinking of all three this morning. Do you remember, Steve? Because I thought I said something to you previously.
I don't, Carol.
There was another aspect. But whatever it was, and maybe it'll come to me, I think, oh, I know what it is. Look at the video games. Look at the movies. Look at the culture. It's all about death. You know, violence in the video games and death, it's why a lot of these young kids don't know the difference between virtual reality and reality, because they grew up in a virtual world playing games of death and destruction. I think we've become not just a culture of death, but we keep misusing that free will choice that we've been given. And I believe it can be turned around on a dime, because all it is a matter of choosing again and choosing differently. You know, I always tell my daughter when she was growing up, and I still do now, she's 22 years old, when she calls me or she tells me she's sad about something or she made a decision and now she's in a mess, I always say to her, okay, you chose wrongly, choose again. Make another choice. We're always given that option to choose again differently. And even if we can't undo what we did in an instant, we can begin to undo by making different kinds of choices. And I think, again, that's what Trump is tapping into. I really have concerns, as I've said in prior shows, about his authenticity, his conservatism, which I believe we need now, and his staying power in terms of being able to survive the political process. However, I do think he's igniting people in what is potentially a good way. You know, Steve, the other thing I wanted to hearken back to was, you know, I was thinking about Ayn Rand and all of her books, both fiction and non, about what would happen to the culture and the economy because of fiscal policy, because of a lack of care around quality. A focus on collectivism, a focus on bureaucracy, the government growing so big that it becomes a paralyzed behemoth. Ayn Rand was literally a prophet. I think there are prophets in every age. I think we just don't recognize them at the time. Certainly biblically, the prophets were not recognized in their time. They were bringing lots of bad news and nobody wanted to hear it. But hindsight is 20/20. I think Ayn Rand was a modern-day prophet. And Steve, maybe you can tell me and even tell our listeners, because I don't remember who it was, but you often reference someone who made basically prophecy about what would be the ramifications of, was it Roe v. Wade?
I'm going to need a few minutes of your time here, Carol. So basically there was a document, it was called Humanae Vitae, that was written 25 years ago that basically prophesized, written by Pope Paul VI, that basically just talked about what would happen with the advent of contraception. And it was four prophecies that he predicted. So I'll give you the four. The four was, the first was infidelity and moral decline was number one. Number two was a loss of respect for women.
Steve, hold on. You just cut out. And I think what you're saying is really important. So anything you can do to the quality of your reporting right now would be great.
Okay. So unfortunately, I haven't moved. So it could just be where I'm at. So the first, I'll backtrack, is infidelity and moral decline. The second prophecy was a loss of respect for women. The third was an abuse of power. And the fourth was unlimited dominion. And so I'll just mention on four of them really quickly. And infidelity and moral decline, basically what he predicted that there'd be, with the advent of contraception, there'd be an increase in the number of divorces, the number of abortions, the out-of-wedlock pregnancies, the increase in venereal diseases, and that would take place. And obviously those have all come true. The second would be a lost respect for women, that man would lose respect for women, no longer care for physical and psychological equilibrium, and will come to the point of considering her as a mere instrument of selfish enjoyment. One need to look at the pornography to see how the rise of pornography is kind of exactly correlated with the use of contraception. The third was the abuse of power. And the abuse of power is basically social planning, that how people in power would begin to use contraception as a way to gain dominion over the population. One only needs to look at the forced abortion programs in China, the things that we do in the third world where we actually go and where we give them medicine and sterilize the population. And the fourth was unlimited dominion. And this is a more, I would say, it's more a philosophical and Catholic thing, but basically the Catholic belief is that our bodies are not our bodies, but our bodies are actually gifts from God. And so but it's really interesting what he says, that the U.S. individuals are so convinced of their own rights to control their own bodies that they will not hesitate to alter their physical makeup. Extends beyond contraception. It would have increased, now this is in the 60s, it's going to increase the amount of test tube babies, the increase of euthanasia, the increase of organs transplanted from those who are nearly dead. And if this doesn't hark to what's happening in Planned Parenthood, where we're actually using the bodies of dead babies to use them for organ transplants, I don't know what is. So I just find it amazing that this document, you know, was written so long ago. I misspoke, Carol. This document's from the 60s, so it's not even 25 years ago. It's even farther back than that. So it's just amazing how all these things have come true.
Well, I'm only going to correct you on one point, because I was fascinated listening to you explain all four of them. But they're not dead babies. They happen to be alive, what Planned Parenthood is doing. They are actually reaching in and ripping off the limbs while they're still intact in utero. And then getting access to some of the other organs, the liver, the thymus, etc. These are not dead babies. These are alive when these procedures, when they crush that skull in order not to damage the other marketable organs, those are living entities at the time that they crush those skulls. So it's much more horrific. It's much more gruesome. And I actually, on that point alone, cannot understand the national silence. And it's interesting, because I heard someone today speak to this who said 20 years ago he was, you know, so-so on abortion. He probably might have even been pro-choice. But he said with the revelation of the Planned Parenthood videos, there is no doubt. He said he is enraged and engaged on this issue like he's never been in his life. And if you remember, Steve, I said that to you recently as well. I said that I have felt, you know, I've probably been pro-life for a very long time, but never adamantly and never feeling like this is an issue that must be, this must be stopped. Planned Parenthood must be stopped. It is evil in, it is no different in my mind than what ISIS is doing in the Middle East, taking innocent lives and destroying them for their own edification, their own glorification, their own profit even. And so I feel really strongly about that. But I just want, I know I went off there for a minute because I just wanted to clarify, I don't know how we can mention Planned Parenthood ever without now mentioning what an absolutely disgusting anti-life organization they are. And by the way, I learned today that there are, I believe, 8,500 Planned Parenthood facilities in the United States, and not one of them performs mammograms. So when they talk about Planned Parenthood, oh, they do other women's health issues, they don't perform a mammogram. They refer you out to somebody else who gives them a kickback for the referral. In addition, when they do an abortion, because they say it's a small percentage of the women's health care that they provide, there are about 10 steps to the abortion, the intake, the preparatory medication, the preparation for surgery. They list every one of those steps, the post-op medication, they list every one as a separate medical procedure. So the actual abortion is only listed as one of 10 things they are doing, but all 10 are pertinent to the abortion. So they are misreporting, the same way Hillary Clinton has just turned over a blank server. They are misreporting, they are manipulating the truth in order to create an image. And I think the curtain is up and we see the wizard behind the curtain, and I don't know how they are permitted to continue. Fortunately, on a state level, some states have already begun to terminate their funding, although I also read today that the Obama administration is taking the position that those are illegal acts because you cannot, under the Medicaid law, prevent a woman from any facility that provides health care within the state. So it's going to be an issue. I think it's going to be a campaign issue. And maybe it's actually a good place to end the show, Steve, because we started off by talking about the certainty and the morality and the life-affirming leadership that we had in the 60s, I'm sorry, in the 80s, with Reagan and Thatcher and Pope John Paul II, versus the kind of disregard for life and disregard for unity within the nation, disregard for security at our borders, that we, and disregard for recklessness of fiscal matters that we have now. So this really has been a slippery slope, and I think it's the most important election. It's also the most important primary on both parties, because if the Democrats can truly put up Hillary Clinton as their candidate, and if the Republicans truly put up Donald Trump, I don't know what hopes I have for this nation as, in its future. And I hate to say that, but it's, I think it may be the bottom of that slope that we've been sliding down. 30, 35 years. Steve, a minute and a half, anything?
No, I think you wrapped it up well. I just, you know, to all our listeners, I wanted to say thank you for listening to the show. It's an important topic, obviously, for both of us. And what I would just ask you, please go onto iTunes and just give us a positive rating on the show. The show, that is the most helpful way to get our show and our word out there. So please do that.
Thanks, Steve. Yep, above the fray on iTunes, give us a great rating. We really appreciate it, as we appreciate the time you give us to listen to our podcasts. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carol Gold.
I'm Steve Clark.
And we'll be back here again next Monday or Tuesday, Steve? Monday.
Monday.
Monday at 6 p.m. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Above the Fray with Carol Gold and Steve Clark, from politics to the divine. Thanks for being a part of a new way to see the world. Visit our website at abovethefraypodcast.com and like us on our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/AboveTheFray Podcast. This has been Carol Gold and Steve Clark, taking you always above the fray.